Welcome to the ProWrestling.net All Access Daily Podcast for Tuesday, March 1st, 2016. I am Jason Powell. WWE officially announced the Triple H and Dean Ambrose title match will take place at the newly named WWE Roadblock event. This was the March to WrestleMania show. It will air on WWE Network on Saturday, March 12th, from Toronto, Ontario, at the Ricoh Coliseum, I believe it is. And the show also features Chris Jericho in a highlight reel segment. I think they've said New Day is involved in that. Plus, we're going to get Roman Reigns against Sheamus, AJ Styles making his Toronto debut, what appears to be Brock Lesnar against Luke Harper. They're just kind of missing the versus part. Yeah, they have Lesnar listed with Paul Heyman, and they have Harper listed with Bray Wyatt. It looks like they're going to be going against one another. I'm looking forward to that match as much as anything on the show if they do, because Luke Harper just criminally underutilized by WWE. But we'll get to a lot of talk about people being criminally underutilized by WWE coming up in a bit. First, let's get to the WWE Raw hit list, which is available in print form at ProWrestling.net, of course. We'll start with the hits. We'll go with Dean Ambrose and Triple H. I expected better chemistry between Ambrose and Hunter. It didn't help that Ambrose seemed scripted to be overly cute with his lines. I like the Ambrose character when he's angry and manic, not when he's delivering a string of hit-and-miss one-liners. The reason I ultimately settled in on giving them a hit is simply because I liked the match they set up for Roadblock. I also like that Hunter is more than just a guy who entered last and won the Royal Rumble, only to inevitably lose the title in his only title defense at WrestleMania. Nothing they did left me anxious to see Hunter face Ambrose or feeling like there's a chance that Ambrose could win the title, but I am curious to see how the match will play out with both guys in key matches at WrestleMania. Next hit is Sasha Banks against Becky Lynch. A good match with the desired finish. Okay, so we just saw the double pin finish on NXT television, but I'm all for whatever gets both of these women into the triple threat match with Charlotte at WrestleMania. In other words, let's have another silly finish on SmackDown. By the way, I love Charlotte's performance as she talked down to Banks and Lynch backstage, and I also despise the way Becky and Sasha were scripted to just stand there and take it. Charlotte is not an untouchable McMahon family member, so her character should not be allowed to talk down to people like they do without any repercussions. New Day against AJ Styles and Chris Jericho is the next hit. A good television match. I must confess that the Styles and Jericho pairing does nothing for me. It's never been a dream of mine to watch the two of them form a tag team. I want to see Styles in a variety of matches with fresh singles opponents, not chasing the tag titles. I'm still holding out hope that a breakup is coming. The fact that the title match was set for Raw rather than WrestleMania left me more hopeful that we will be seeing a split. And if we're really lucky, Styles will face Jericho at Roadblock, with the winner challenging Kevin Owens for the Intercontinental title at WrestleMania. The next hit is Dean Ambrose against Alberto Del Rio. This hit is due to the match holding my interest once it started. It's worth noting that I'm a captive viewer because of what I do for a living, so there's a very good chance that I would have given up on this grueling marathon of a show before the opening bell even rang. WWE once again went back to the formula of having one of their top babyfaces wrestle a League of Nations member with the rest of the faction at ringside. I like the League of Nations members as individuals, but WWE has to know this faction is ice cold. It's also embarrassing to see them protected with a non-finish last week and an apparent DQ finish this week. There's no reason to protect them while they're together. The faction was dead on arrival, and it's time to have them go their separate ways and let the rebuilding process begin. By the way, I can't ignore the latest ridiculous double stomp from Del Rio that required yet another opponent to hold himself in place before the move was performed. Del Rio needs to go back to using the cross-arm breaker finish and use the double stomp sparingly and only when it doesn't look hokey. Now we are into the Raw misses section. We will start with Undertaker and Vince McMahon. WWE had people buzzing. No matter how you feel about Shane McMahon facing Undertaker at WrestleMania, you were talking about it after last week's show. I was anxious to see what Undertaker would have to say about Vince McMahon booking him without his blessing. Would it turn out that Taker was somehow tied to whatever Shane is holding over Vince's head? Would Taker lash out against Vince and refuse the match? Nope. Taker is apparently content to face whomever Vince puts in front of him at WrestleMania. So Taker's not a heel, nor is he a babyface. He's apparently just cold-blooded. This approach doesn't damage the WrestleMania match with Shane, but it made for a big letdown of a follow-up segment. Next miss is Stephanie McMahon's promo. Stephanie gave viewers too much solid logic when it came to why Shane isn't a good guy. She made him out to be a sexist blackmailer who abandoned WWE. She didn't do it in an over-the-top manner designed to make fans despise her. Rather, she went for realism, or at least perceived realism, regarding the McMahon family dynamic. I don't think any real damage was done because the Stephanie character has been so despicable that there's no way fans are going to turn on Shane to side with her, but I'm really not sure what purpose this segment was supposed to serve. No one thinks this is real. Fans are buzzing over the freak show spectacle match between Taker and Shane, not over McMahon family drama. We've been there and done that for nearly 20 years, and if anything, fans are excited because Shane represents hope for change from the tired heel authority figure and McMahon family storyline dominance. The next miss is Sheamus and Rusev against Kalisto and Sin Cara. Another League of Nations snoozer. I appreciated the good ring work, even though I was struggling to keep my eyes open. Again, I like Sheamus and Rusev as individual acts, but there's no chemistry between them. No one takes League of Nations seriously, and that's not going to change. Heck, no one took this act seriously when Sheamus had the WWE World Heavyweight Championship and Del Rio had the U.S. title. Speaking of champions, we have a U.S. champion who can only beat Del Rio in every other match, and then loses to everyone else. The next miss is Ryback against Adam Rose. What did WWE expect viewers to feel? Ryback abandoned his babyface partners last week and then cut a heelish promo about how he deserves the spotlight. Then he faces Rose, who is part of a foursome destined to appear on a future WWE countdown list of worst factions. The social outcasts tend to be heels more often than not, so does that mean they wanted us to cheer when Ryback punched Rose repeatedly? Or was Ryback a heel because of the way he blew off the referee's concern for Rose so that he can continue to punch him and then perform his finisher on him? Apparently Ryback was not a heel, as Michael Cole endorsed him by asking where this version of Ryback has been. None of this made any sense whatsoever. Next miss is Bubba Ray against Jey Uso. I was excited when the Dudleys turned heel to feud with the Uso brothers. I figured we would get some good heel mic work from Bubba, some character development from the Uso brothers after all these years, and it would all lead to a big tag team showdown match. Instead, we've had some tame mic work from Bubba, zero change from the happy-go-lucky Uso brothers, and we're instead getting singles matches that make the eventual tag match feel like anything but a showdown. I don't want the Dudley boys to be cast as hypocrites. I want the Dudley boys to be ruthless badass heels who will do anything to win. Final miss is Kevin Owens against Big Show. Big Show was counted on SmackDown, so he returns the favor by laughing as Owen crushed his balls before being counted out at ringside. I get that it was payback, but none of this left me wanting to see more. Give Owens the mic. That is the end of the WWE Raw hit list, and believe me, I do have some bonus thoughts on Raw and just WWE in general. First, I want to tell you about .NET membership. My cuss-filled rant on WWE Raw is available for members. I'm keeping it clean here today as best I can. I was not impressed by this show. I thought it was just a three-hour drag of a show. It just felt like it went on forever. And so I vented about it for .NET members exclusively, probably about 35, 40 minutes in length. I don't have the count right in front of me. But that show is available on Monday nights to .NET members. And also, my Q&A audio show is recorded on Mondays. That went up for the members yesterday. They will also hear my audio review of TNA Impact Wrestling on Wednesday. You'll be hearing the Lucha Underground review from Will Pruitt, the Ring of Honor television review from Darren Gutteridge, and maybe and or Hayden Gleed. I never quite know who's going to do that one. One of the two, if not both of them, get together for that. Zach Zimmerman's NXT review. Of course, we'll have live coverage of the WWE Roadblock event, and then after that, I will have an exclusive audio review from members as well. If you enjoy audio content, know that we have a ton of it available on a weekly basis for everybody on the ad-free version of ProWrestling.net. If you are interested in membership, visit the main page at ProWrestling.net. Once you are there, you will find the sign-up area, and on the right side of your screen, once you're in there, you'll see three different pricing options. You can start for the one-month membership rate of $7.50. If you want to save yourself some money, bump it up to 6 months. If you want to save yourself the most amount of money, you can whittle that price down to an average of $5.50 a month by taking our annual option. Again, all the details are available on the main page at ProWrestling.net, and if you ever have any questions, you can hit me up on Twitter at ProWrestlingNet. And I promise some Raw bonus thoughts. Let's get into it. I noted in the hit list that I didn't feel like Raw did any damage to Shane and Taker, but I definitely feel like the show brought the overall WrestleMania momentum that started last week with Shane's return to kind of a screeching halt. I mean, they can claim if they want to that they're like detouring to the Roadblock Live special. That's a cop-out. We're just over a month away from WrestleMania now, and they delivered just this long, plodding show that just exposed the flaws of, really, I mean, it's just an atrocious mid-card, and just the booking. It's not the talent, it's the booking. I mean, they can point to all these injuries they've had, and they have had some. That's just no excuse for what they've done with this mid-card. It's been completely neglected, and it's a shame. Several examples here. What have they done to Rusev and Lana? I mean, they had that grand entrance at WrestleMania last year, marching soldiers, the tank. And every year we hear that John Cena beating a rising star at WrestleMania is okay because it gives rub to the rising star. BS. What did it do for Bray Wyatt the year before? And what did it do for Rusev? Are they in better places today? No, they're not. And I'm not, this isn't an anti-Cena thing at all. I know people like to kind of twist it into that. This isn't about Cena. This is about Vince McMahon's top-heavy booking. He pays attention to the top stars. And the mid-card guys just kind of, you know, trade meaningless wins and losses until they don't mean anything anymore. So when he builds up guys like Wyatt and Rusev and then feeds them to a top star, whether it's Cena or Taker or someone else, he has no plan for them once that program is finished. It just sends them back into mid-card purgatory where they trade wins and losses. Think about the talent WWE has on the mid-card that's being wasted right now. You have Kevin Owens in a meaningless program with Big Show. Hopefully it will mean some, you know, he'll be in something else by the time Mania gets here, but he's been wasted. He had his win over John Cena. He's an exception. I mean, at least he's hung around the secondary title level. You can't tell me they couldn't be getting more out of Kevin Owens, or that at the very least he couldn't be a stronger Intercontinental Champion. And let's look at our U.S. Champion, Kalisto. He loses to everyone other than when he trades wins and losses with Alberto Del Rio. Okay, I think he beat Neville once. Neville's a guy who can't even crack the Raw show. A lot of weeks. Last night he didn't. When he does, he's like used in some six-man tag time filler match. This guy is so talented, he's just being completely wasted. Remember how good that Neville against Seth Rollins match was? How did they follow that up? They didn't. Bray Wyatt, he tells us the apocalypse is coming, then he says it's here, then he's back to saying it's coming. He and the Wyatt family mean nothing. I mean, he's on Raw last night cutting another mumbo-jumbo promo. It's not them. Bray Wyatt is a great talent. Bray Wyatt delivers spectacular promos, in my opinion. The problem is there's no substance to them because they're not giving him anything he can sink his teeth into, and so he's left going out there and just spitting out the mumbo-jumbo. It's generic, and it's a shame because this action means so much. Luke Harper, I mentioned him earlier. What a talent this guy is. A guy that size doing the things that he does. He means nothing. He's just a henchman for Bray Wyatt. Dolph Ziggler means nothing. And we could talk about that, but it's kind of a waste of time because, well, he's been, I think, the perfect example of how they've wasted the WWE mid-card. And you're a guy that people get excited by, and then they just kind of run you into the ground and look where Ziggler is today. By the way, Dolph is on ESPN News tonight. Can't wait for that. Stardust, complete afterthought. Unless the guy from Arrow shows up. They're not doing anything with Cody Rhodes. Tyler Breeze, he's a traveling enhancement wrestler. And the list goes on. And what were they doing with Cesaro before he got hurt? Do you really think they had high hopes for him? And, oh, he just got hurt. We were going to do so much with him. Do you think they're going to do anything with the man who was once dubbed by Vince McMahon himself as being too Swiss once he gets back? I don't. And it's just, this is the problem in WWE. Yes, they've been plagued by some injuries, but they have an all-star cast of mid-carders. These are not your mid-carders from past eras where, hey, there's a good reason these guys are here. They're all missing a lot. These are some really talented people that even if they don't see them as main eventers, there should be, I mean, we should have so many really good, just excellent mid-card programs right now. And the reason I'm ranting about this is I look at the build to WrestleMania, and that undercard is a mess right now. Hopefully by the time it gets here, it takes shape, and we're like, okay, this isn't bad, but it's still not going to mean as much as it should because these guys just trade wins and losses. They don't mean anything. Some of these guys might end up in a Money in the Bank style match, which will be a crowd pleaser. Others might end up in the, if there's another Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. None of it's going to matter, though, because Vince doesn't take it seriously. You can get excited by somebody winning a secondary title or winning a battle royal. Look what that battle royal win did for Cesaro, huh? Yeah. So you can get excited by what you see and enjoy the matches in the moment, but I wouldn't waste your time thinking that so-and-so is climbing up the ladder after being in mid-card purgatory for so long, because they don't. They just stay there. And that's what's frustrating, amongst other things about WWE, is just seeing some great talent completely wasted. And believe me, I could rant about this all day. Instead, I'm just going to switch to a company that has actually been trying to do something with their talent that they have from top to bottom. It's not always perfect, but they're doing a better job than WWE is when it comes to utilizing their mid-card talent and at least trying to get something out of them other than trading wins and losses. And that's TNA Impact. I know, people. If you're not watching the show, you're like, oh, BS. No, they really are. Tonight on the show, Kurt Angle facing Bobby Roode in the opening match. It is billed as Angle's penultimate match in TNA. He will face Bobby Lashley next week in what is billed as his final match. I keep saying billed as because this is wrestling and you just never know. Angle says he's taking a year off from wrestling, but Angle is also advertised for an independent date. You just never quite know, but they're doing a nice job with the build to Angle's farewell, and I'm really looking forward to his match with Lashley. The one with Rude, it's just like you're excited. If you're excited by it, it's because you know they're great wrestlers. It's not because they've really built it up in a big way. But also on tonight's show, Drew Galloway facing Mike Bennett. I'm looking forward to this. They've built up this match nicely. They've had they've developed issues between these two, and now I'm looking forward just to seeing what type of match they can actually produce. I think this is Galloway has been very good in TNA, and I think he's a good opponent for Bennett. And we'll see what type of match they can have. In the first of what I assume is kind of a long program between the two. And I keep saying it, if you're not watching Impact, yeah, you're missing out lately. I think we figured out they've had 9 shows so far in 2016. I've disliked one of them, and I was pretty blah just on the first one, on the premiere of Pop TV. The other 7, I've enjoyed. They've either been good to very good. There are good things happening in TNA, and so if you're holding a grudge about bad angles or bad booking, whatever the reason, I just say, hey, give it a shot. Believe me, I never thought I would be saying this, even like in December. Had you told me, like, you're going to be raving about Impact, I rolled my eyes and thought you were crazy. But the show has been much improved. I'm enjoying it. They're not setting the world on fire, but it's been mostly good, sound, logical booking, and the right guys are being showcased, and they're doing a nice job of telling stories, setting things up for the following week, and for the future even. So definitely check out Impact. You can join me for live coverage tonight as the show airs at 8 Central, 9 Eastern time. Will and Jake will be by on Wednesday and Thursday with the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, and I will be back in this slot on Friday. You can also hear me later today on the PW Torch Livecast at 4 Central, 5 Eastern. Your phone calls are welcome at pwtorchlivecast.com. Wade Keller and I will get together, as we always do on Tuesdays, to take your phone calls and discuss the very latest in pro wrestling. And then Wade and I stick around, too, for usually anywhere between 10 and 40 minutes, just depending on the week, for a bonus show that we do that is available exclusively to our respective members. And so we will, take email questions. A lot of times we do, and we get some really good email questions. And then other times we'll just kind of continue the conversation if there's something major going on that we didn't feel like we got to cover in enough depth on the live cast. But the PW Torch live cast, 4 Central, 5 Eastern, and your phone calls are welcome. Hey, please remember to subscribe to this daily podcast. Please rate and review us on iTunes or anywhere else that allows such reviews. It's always appreciated. You are helping spread the word about the podcast. And thank you to those people who have taken me up on my request that when I send out the link to this show, you're taking a moment just to retweet it. That helps too. Anything you can do, any effort, as simple as hitting retweet, is greatly appreciated. Again, you're helping spread the word about this daily podcast. We want it to grow, and so far, it is doing just that, and I thank you very much for that. So until tomorrow with Will and Jake, and for me on Friday, thank you very much for listening. Have a great day.